Good morning, Los Angeles, and welcome to another edition of the Weekend Warrior Show. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Clapper. I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai. 30 years. As we say at Cedars, oy vey, that's a lot of time. Yesterday, just like in baseball, you hit a single, a double, a triple, a home run. You hit for the cycle, they say. You hit everything you could possibly hit. I started my day fixing someone's rotator cuff in their shoulder. Then I did a hip replacement and then four knee replacements. I was all over the body yesterday. And it was particularly great because one of the cases, my father, God rest his soul, the carpenter, I had to channel him in one of the cases because someone previously had done this man's ACL and had put some screws in. And let me tell you, one of those screws was impossible to remove. And I thought about Abraham Clapper, my dad. How would he do this? The screwdriver was stripped previously. You couldn't really back the screw out. And I looked at Adolfo, my scrub tech. Get me the vice grip, as I heard Abraham Clapper's voice in my head. And I was able to elegantly engage the top of the screw with the vice grip and back it elegantly out of the bone. It was great. It was a great day in the operating room yesterday. So you'd think after six cases, I would be tired. How could you possibly want to wake up early Saturday morning? But you know what? It's like I don't need any sleep because my guest in studio today is one of my favorite people in real estate and favorite people of all, the great Cassandra Bluer. And she is going to teach us a little bit about the complicated world of real estate. So when I knew she'd be coming on this Saturday, you know how much I love the world of art, the world of sports, and the world of surgery. Where do you see real estate and the principles of real estate? Do you own your house? Do you rent the house? Do you live in a condo? Do you have to pay condo association rights? How do you get a mortgage? I started to think, where are these principles, which she's an expert at, and she can dumb it down for someone like me so it can make sense? I started to think, well, in sports, did you know Raiders owner Al Davis really didn't realize when he bought the Oakland Raider football team that he was buying a condo. He was buying a townhouse. And what do I mean by that? He had to sue the league to move from Oakland to Los Angeles in 1980 because they told him, Al, you own the Oakland Raiders. You don't own the LA Raiders. You got to stay in Oakland. And he said, I want to move. It's just like a person buying a condo. You want to paint the outside pink? You can't. You can buy whatever refrigerator you want or whatever couch you want for the inside, but you can't paint it pink, which is a different color than the rest of them. You ever think about the National Football League like a giant condominium association? But it is. And we're going to get into that. And she's going to explain to us the intricacies that even Al Davis didn't appreciate. And what about it in art? Well, in the music world, behind the scenes, whether you like Pharrell and Daft Punk, Get Lucky, you like Madonna, Notorious, David Bowie, Elton John, I can go through a list. Four decades of hit records, writing them, singing them, producing them, and he's just been at the Hollywood Bowl this weekend. One of my favorite people in the world, I'm president of the fan club, is Nile Rodgers. But listen to an interview that Nile Rodgers has with this hip-hop icon Sway on his radio station on Sirius, where they talk about good times. And I love playing good times on this show. It's one of my favorites, like a desert island song for me, you know, that and The Game of Love. But I'd love to have good times because of that backbeat, that bass. Well, if any of you remember Rapper's Delight, turns out it's the same backbeat, which they needed to give credit to Nile Rodgers. And initially they didn't, the Sugar Hill Gang. But wait till you hear Nile Rodgers talk about who actually inspired him. bit, it's the idea of ownership. You can get inspired, but it's not your song. Just to remind you, here's Chic's Good Times. Listen to the backbeat. It could be 7 o'clock in the morning, but you listen to this, and your feet start moving, right? They haven't even begun singing yet, and I'm already excited. Because it's about the music. It's about the backbeat. All right, now listen to Rapper's Delight. So this doesn't really sound like it's going to be good times until the bass starts. And can you imagine being, there it is. Can you imagine being Nile Rodgers hearing this for the first time going, that's my song. Then he looks at the album and sees that he's not given any credit. You can't rent his song. It's his song. So the same principle of ownership, which is really in real estate, we need to understand. And that is why the great Cassandra Bluer is in the studio with me today, and we're going to get into it. Clapper Vision, I want to talk about Klay Thompson's ACL. How great is it coming to Los Angeles to have his surgery by the great Neil Elitrosh, a great friend of the show and a great friend of mine. But I'm here to tell you, Klay Thompson's going to be back on the court probably by late January, February. Because of the new technology we have that allows us to hold the new ligament in the bone. And I'm going to explain that later in the show of why that's actually possible. But it'll involve a bottle of champagne, a cork, and a string. If I ask you to pick up a bottle of champagne, not with your hands, but with the string, and you're not allowed to tie it around the top of the bottle, how are you going to lift that bottle off the table with just a string? If you're clever, you're going to put the string in the hole in the top of the bottle and then stuff the cork in. That squeezes the rope, the string, into the bottle, right? When you push the cork in into that hole. That's called an interference fit. You could then elegantly lift up the string and the bottle will come off the table. That's the same principle. We drill holes in the bone. We put the graft, the new ligament, in that hole. And then, like the cork we put in the bottle, we actually have a special screw from Japan that we called a Kurosaka screw that allows us to bolt, essentially, the graft into the hole we made. So there's a clapper vision for you for Klay Thompson. That technology allows him to have it heal so fast, and he'll be back in February. That's right. All right, let's get into Raiders, Al Davis, and the imprint he made on this society by being this renegade. He bought a condo. He bought the Oakland Raiders. But he didn't want to have anything to do with the condo association. But he certainly was inspiring. Listen to Ice Cube talking about the power of Al Davis.
I picked the Raiders' time in L.A. because it influenced my life a lot in more ways than one. Not only as a football fan, but musically being part of N.W.A. and taking on a lot of that Raider persona and image, and you know, kind of mixing two, sports and music. It was a story I wanted to tell. I didn't think would be told right unless I did it.
Sports and music. Even Ice Cube recognizes the connection. I would throw into surgery, but he didn't go to medical school. So other than that, he's practically doing the Weekend Warrior show.
I love Al Davis. You know, Al is the man. You know, he get a bad rap, but he's done it his way. He's been to 5 Super Bowls. He's won 3 of them. You know, a lot of dudes that do it the old standard corporate way haven't been to no Super Bowls and don't have no rings. So you got to give it to Al. He's done a lot for the NFL, a lot for, you know, black coaches and you know, management and things like that. And, you know, to me, he's still got it. You know, he's still sharp as ever from my interview. He's sharp as ever. You know, his body might be breaking down on him a little bit, but the mind is still there. And he still just want to win, baby.
Who's Al Davis and where did his inspiration come from? The fact that he's a Jewish guy from Brooklyn makes him near and dear to my heart. But, and I'm from Queens, not Brooklyn, by the way. But here's Al Davis in his own words.
Because as a young guy, I had a dream that someday I would build the finest organization in professional sports. And I had a lot of thoughts on how I would do it. I had the inspiration of two great organizations when I was growing up. The Yankees, to me, personified the size of the players, power, the home run, and intimidation and fear. The Dodgers, under Branch Rickey, were totally different in my mind. They represented speed. They represented development of players, a way of playing the game, the Dodger way of playing the game. And I always thought that someone intelligent could take all the qualities, the great qualities of both, and put them together and use them.
Listen, if you live your life worrying about what people think and what people say and who's good or who's bad, you'll never take a step.
He hired the first Hispanic American NFL coach. He hired the first African American coach of the modern era. And the person who we all believe will succeed him when he's gone is a woman.
He's about opportunity. When he gave opportunity to me as a 32-year-old head coach, he's one that is open.
So he's inspiring to Ice Cube. He's motivated to make a difference and rise up. So he buys the Oakland Raiders. Here's the problem. He doesn't realize he's just bought a condo, not a house that's freestanding. There are other owners who get to say what he can do, and he don't want to hear it.
Al was going to move to Los Angeles without asking Pete's permission. There was a touch of arrogance of Al in doing that, which is Al's style. He's tough. And Roselle resented the fact.
A homeowners association.
Shoving this down his throat. And he decided to fight it.
We're fighting for a principle. We don't think the antitrust laws were intended to let a team just get up and move after 12 straight years of sellouts.
Yeah, he was moving in 1980. He bought the team in 1970, but in 1980, he already said, I'm moving to Los Angeles.
The National Football League acted in bad faith with no polling, secret and sneaky lawsuits, just a number and a myriad of things that were totally unfair and totally restricted.
The league was unanimous in believing the Raiders should stay up in Oakland. Only a few clubs abstained on that. I think it was unfortunate that got as personal as it was, but that's the nature of court fights.
Here you had a member of the league testifying and fighting his partners, and we'd never been associated with that type of a thing before.
When someone within your ranks sues you, it just makes you look very inept and amateurish. And that's hurt the fraternity of NFL owners.
The Homeowners Association, better known as the NFL.
The war began and it lasted several years. And the NFL lost. And the Raiders did move to Los Angeles.
I don't really have that much respect for Pete Roselle, especially when I thought his credibility was destroyed in this case.
He drove my buddy Pete Roselle out of the business. Again with litigation and testifying against him.
So this is the owner, Art Modell, who owned the Cleveland Browns, who, by the way, ends up one night moving the team to Baltimore, okay? So this is a little bit interesting. Al Davis actually was a trailblazer in terms of picking up his team and moving it wherever he wanted to go.
His fellow owners despise him. At one point, talked about trying to form a coalition to get him kicked out of the league.
There may only be one way to do it, and that's Al Davis's way. Al seems to enjoy a fight.
My personal opinion is that Al makes doing business more difficult.
Al believes that if he is disruptive, that he can function in chaos better than someone else.
He had no business pursuing that litigation with such vigor and such intensity to try to tear us down.
Hypocrite.
I'm angry. Art Modell gets angry at Al Davis, who loses the last friend he has in the NFL.
So think about the real estate issues. I'm a Rams season ticket holder. I had to move my seats. Why? Because the Coliseum's owned by USC, I think. And they decided to renovate the stadium in the middle of the season. Okay, so the Rams don't want that to happen, but they're tenants. They're not owning the Coliseum. The Clippers keep trying to build a place in Inglewood because they don't want to be tenants of the Staples Center. They don't get to do what they want because AEG owns the Staples Center and the Chargers. They can't get a stadium in San Diego, so now they're up here. They're going to be tenants in the new Rams stadium that's going to be in Inglewood. If you don't think real estate issues are present in the world of sports, in the world of art, and in the world of surgery, you're kidding yourself. So to break it down, that's why we have my favorite real estate knowledgeable broker agent, Cassandra Bleuer. And coming up next, we're going to get into some of these issues with the great Cassandra Bleuer. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Fats Domino. Why are we playing Shake, Rattle, and Roll? Because Kawhi's decision came with an earthquake. It was an earth-shattering decision. Do you believe he's going to the Clippers with Paul George? Let me tell you something. The basketball world is never going to be the same going forward. The Lakers against the Clippers. Oh, my God. It's going to be fun. Yeah, unbelievable. We gotta, I guess, before we talk to Cassandra Bleuer, we need to at least respond to all the callers. Let's go to Judy in Studio City. You're on with Dr. Clapper. Judy.
Hi, well, you just touched on it. I've been listening to your show for many years, and
are you a Clipper fan or a Laker fan?
I am a Clipper fan, and I've had to endure you talking about the Lakers and how much better they were for so many years, and even during the playoffs, you said you were rooting for Golden State against the Clippers. And
right.
I was tempted never to forgive you. So I'm giving you an opportunity now to redeem yourself.
Here's my version of it. Jerry West is a Laker, but he's now being held hostage by the Clippers, and he pulled off something that only Jerry West can do.
I know.
My respect goes further to Dr. Buss and what he put together. So, yes, it's to the Clippers, but basically, you know what I think now, Judy?
What?
That the Staples Center has two Laker teams. They don't have the Clippers anymore. There's a second Laker team. It's like the amoeba. Remember in biology in high school where you had the cell divide?
Yeah.
That's basically what has happened. You have two Laker teams, and you had, out of respect, has to go off to Steve. I almost call him Dr. Ballmer. Steve Ballmer, for hiring Jerry West. Doc Rivers is an amazing coach. And, oh, my God, the center of the basketball universe is absolutely here in Los Angeles. It's incredible. So you have to have respect. But these two teams are going to go at each other. It's going to be unbelievable. I cannot wait for the season to start. What about you?
Exactly the same, but I would really like for you to not call this Lakers number two.
Well, there are the Lakers and the Fakers. That's what we have in the Staples Center. No, it's the Clippers. The Clippers deserve all the credit in the world, and I got to give credit to Steve Ballmer. It's new. It's not Donald Sterling's team anymore. It's Steve Ballmer's team, and
right. You
have to give the guy props for slowly, methodically putting it together. And wasn't your heart broken when they got rid of Blake Griffin and when they got rid of Chris Paul and when they got rid of Tobias Harris?
Of course. What
are they doing? They're crazy. Guess what?
Yeah.
Crazy like a fox.
Absolutely.
So thank you for reminding me that now, going forward, I have nothing but respect for the Clippers as I remain a Laker fan.
Great. And I'll be here every Saturday morning.
All right. Thank you, Judy. All right. God bless you. I appreciate it. All right. Let's get into today's topic, Cassandra Bleuer. Al Davis did not realize that when he sued the other owners of their own respective football teams, that he basically is a tenant in a condo association suing the other tenants because he wants to paint his condo pink. Tell us what's involved with buying a townhouse, buying a condo. And in your, off the top of your head, which has lots of information, what is the benefit of being involved in a condo association versus owning a home?
Hi, Dr. Clapper. Thank you for having me. You know, there is a sense of community that comes with it, and you have the regulations and rules that have that protect all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for instance, if, you know, the neighbor does want to paint the house purple, there is a continuity that needs to stay within the development, mm-hmm. and that protects you, protects the value of your home. So, you know, I'm sure, you know, as the community there does that, I think the homeowner has that sense of safety and it holds their value in the long term when they have the real estate in it.
So safety, that's an interesting idea. If you're part of a townhouse, you now benefit from the fact that other people are there to kind of look out if, God forbid, a burglar decides to come into the community. You have people literally attached to your place that could be looking out for you. Same thing for your kids. If you have to work, you have access to people to keep an eye on them. So there's benefits in that regard.
Right. You create bonds. I mean, we don't always love our neighbors, but we have a sense of respect, and there is a protection that you want for the value of your own home and your neighbors.
What would you say to someone like Al Davis who wants to be so disruptive? Would you say, listen, there's more of us than you. You're going to have to leave? I mean, how would you have handled the rambunctious Al Davis in his fight with the National Football League?
Look, you have to respect that everybody wants to do something and make a change. And sometimes change is good. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, you can always go back to the organization and try and make an agreement that works for everybody. Mm. So do I disagree that you can't do that or you should do it? No. But I think that being respectful as a whole is a better way to live and a better way to.
So now I'm a new client of yours, and I don't have the money to buy a home, because I assume that's a big reason why someone would probably want to buy a townhouse versus a house, because it's less expensive. What kind of coaching would you give a person who's going to buy a townhouse versus a home in the fine print, which clearly Al Davis did not read, that there's going to be homeowner association fees? What else do you have to worry about when you buy a condo?
Well, in owning a home or a townhome, there are costs that you incur. Even though you do have homeowners association fees, sometimes there are extra assessments that occur.
Mm.
You know, like our earthquake, something occurs. There are catastrophes that cost much more money. So there are extra costs that they need to be aware of. But even as you own a home again or a townhome, that occurs. Other than that, I think that, you know, you go in it knowing that you have a development that is cared for and beyond your day-to-day necessities. It's having the house and the entranceway look nice, and you have the sense of that the whole community makes a effort, and there's usually a designated person who organizes it and creates community meetings and things like that for you.
Do you think that there's pride in being part of an instant community when you own a townhouse? Is that an advantage? And what also is involved in what's covered by a homeowner association? The gardener, painting, the roof? What is insurance for the public spaces? What is involved in the homeowner association fee?
Certainly some of the aesthetics of the home, but and some of the insurances, but not all of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have, you know, such things as if you have a flood zone and, you know, these fires and floods and things like that, there are certain things that may be covered. But you still have your own entity as a homeowner, so you do have your own responsibilities.
Is there a limit to how much they can jack up the homeowner fee from when you buy it?
Typically in the contract, when you work with them and you're making the purchase, you can see what sort of percentages they're expecting. And there usually is a meeting yearly with the association that they go over all the regulations and what the expectations are coming.
One of the fantastic things about knowing you and having bought a fair amount of properties with you is the pages and pages of initial here. And so I have no interest in reading any of this stuff. I just say, Cassandra, how much is this going to be? Do you think this is a good property? And for me to be able to just totally trust somebody, which I'm not good at doing, but I so trust you that you are looking out for me, because you actually are one of those people who reads every page and every word and all the rest of it, is great. But if someone, I encourage everybody to actually call you if they're going to buy something. But
thank you.
What is it that you would say, in your opinion, is the one thing to be on the lookout for when you're about to buy a townhouse?
Well, I do think that you find someone that you trust. Mm-hmm. You know, you want some. I mean, it's typically a person's biggest purchase in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you go in anxious and this person needs to have your best interest in mind. Mm-hmm. And you have to feel that. As you and I have this relationship, I think that people, you know that, and you have a sense. And you got to go with your gut a lot of times, you know. A better person is, you know, something you feel.
What's the name of the firm other than Cassandra Bluer?
B-L-O-O-R-E.
Compass?
Compass, I'm sorry.
How do you spell that?
C-O-M-P-A-S-S, Compass. Okay.
All right. Instead of taking calls right now, I want to talk to you about another avenue of real estate, and that's in the art world, the music world. And I'm going to do the segment by playing an interview with Nile Rodgers, because the idea of ownership versus renting. So we did the townhouse discussion. Now I want to talk about the difference between renting a house or an apartment versus owning it. And I want you to listen to the idea of owning a song versus having someone take the copyright essentially from you. I think there's an analogy here that I really can't wait to pick your brain. My professor Ranawat, who invented the knee replacement, used to say, the eyes don't see what the mind doesn't know. For you, our ears don't hear what the mind doesn't know, and I want you to listen to it, and I'm curious to see how you interpret what Nile Rodgers is saying about his song that Rapper's Delight and the Sugar Hill Gang seem to have co-opted from them. Coming up next, we'll talk more to the great Cassandra Bluer. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710. This is the great... Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Happy Kawhi 4th. Ha ha. This is the great Madonna. Which one is this? Like a Virgin? So the producer behind the scenes of Madonna is Nile Rodgers. Nile Rodgers, the word is pervasive. He is involved with so much of what you heard for the last 40 years. His story is mind-boggling. But when I heard this interview with Nile Rodgers and Sway on Sirius XM Radio, it really made me think about real estate. So if it's okay with you, Cassandra Bluer, my guest, my favorite real estate agent, I want to listen to this whole interview with you and hear what you think. It's really, Michelangelo's dead 500 years. I can't talk to him. You're the Michelangelo of real estate, so I get to talk to you. So let's begin with the beat of one of my favorite songs of all times. Nile Rodgers and Chic wrote this song, played on this song. Powerful. The bass. You know, if I put an EKG electrode on your chest right now, it would go ba-boom, 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 systolic as the heart squeezes the blood out of the heart. And then it must fill again, relax, systolic versus diastolic. These are the different. When you stick a stethoscope, you can hear the valves opening up. You know, this is just fascinating to me how the heart works. But it's a beat. And those electrodes that I put on your chest, as you sit here, you are going ba-boom, ba-boom. That is why this hits you like a ton of bricks, because it's truly your heart beating. That's good times. Here's the Rapper's Delight. And hip-hop, known for taking something that's hip and adding the hop. As I used to say to Coach Dave Miller, I know a lot about the hip and hip surgery. And he knows a lot about the hop, basketball. But they're taking the beat from Good Times and then doing the lyrics, which is fine if you pay for it. But you can't just go and compromise someone else's work. So which came first, Good Times or Rapper's Delight? Well, it's obvious. Good Times came first. And Nile Rodgers in studio with Sway on his show actually innocently asked them, so tell me, which came first? Can you imagine? You're the guy who wrote Good Times and someone's saying, which came first? He's being very politically correct here by not taking his head off when he asks him that question. But this is the idea, Cassandra, of owning your own place versus renting it. And there are rules. Having an apartment that you own and now you rent it to a tenant, it gives you great joy to know that they are taking care of the garden and they're paying them, they're treating it as their own. You love that as a landlord. But it's still not their apartment. It's not yours. You can't bust down the wall. You can't, hey, you're just a tenant here. So listen to Nile Rodgers incredulously responding to who came first, the Sugar Hill Gang or Chic.
What do you mean who played it? The bird.
This is not a real laugh.
Look at the copyright.
Exactly. No.
That was a stunt.
He just stunted on us. You know, but was that allowed back then? Because we had this thing in hip hop, if you take another rapper's rhymes, then that's flagrant.
That's exactly right. What do you mean back then? The rules are the rules. Read the Bible. You just can't compromise somebody.
Here's the deal, is that what happened is when we started, we didn't know about
it. So he's a landlord.
Believe it or not, we just didn't know. We lived in the studio. We didn't even... Yes, I went to strip clubs. You're right. But most of the time, I was in the studio. So what happened was we were producing Blondie, and they told us about these events called hip hops. And I said, what is that? They said, well, what you do is you take something hip and you hop on it. And I was like, oh, okay.
So he's a landlord. He bought a property. He saved up, bought it, but now he's going to rent it. But they don't own it.
So I went to a hip hop, as they called it, and the thing that they took that was hip and they hopped on was Good Times.
My
and all
song.
These MCs kept coming on stage.
That's crazy.
Spitting rhymes to my song. And I'm sitting there watching this for like hours and hours. And that's when I met Fab Five Freddy and Future, all these guys. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Like, what is this? And then they started explaining to me about their culture and their rhymes and blah, 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 and how important Good Times was. And I was just... I didn't know what to make of it. So that was just it. It ended there.
Listen to the education. I'm not a music guy. I just love listening to it. But I don't know an eighth of a beat. I don't have any idea what anyone's talking about. But his passion, Nile Rodgers' passion for music is like my passion for surgery and for sculpting. And for sports and the Lakers and now the Clippers. There's passion. And when someone has passion, it just hits you in the chest. He's the landlord, though. This is his song.
So I was hanging out at this joint called Leviticus, and this record, Rapper's Delight, comes on. Now, I'm familiar with what we used to do back in the day. We would take two tracks of breakdowns, and we would go and we would make reel-to-reel edits, and they would just play and play and play and loop. And the DJ would use that to go to the bathroom or talk to some girls or something like that. So what happened was when I heard Rapper's Delight playing, I thought that a band had gone into the studio, played a loop of Good Times. I knew that it wasn't us playing because if you listen closely, you'll hear there's an eighth note difference in the bass line.
I'm not
but
that
basically
good.
It's the same. It's the same bass line.
He hears it.
I thought that just some guys went in and recorded. And that it was looping, and the DJ was inside the booth rapping. When I looked in the booth and I didn't see anybody, I went, how the hell is he doing that? And I thought he was in there with his boys going, you see, I am Wonder Mike, and I like to say hello. And I looked, and he was standing next to me, just like Sway is next to me, and he was there with a split of champagne talking to some girls. And I'm thinking to myself, how long is this damn record? That he could be sitting there chilling. Yeah, I'm like, how long is this going
to
go on?
Cassandra, this is like driving up to the apartment you own and seeing a construction crew knocking out the kitchen. And you're going, how could they be doing this? This is my apartment. They're just tenants.
So he's looking at me, and he said, man, this is the hottest thing. I just bought it in Harlem this morning. And I said, well, let me see the record. And it had a label on it, and it said Sugar Hill Records, and I didn't see my name anywhere in the copyright. Mm-hmm. And I was like going, anybody who's a composer, anybody, let me be honest with you, straight up, any composer knows when another composer is inspired by mm-hmm. their work.
Probably like when someone sings a song that you wrote. Carole King, I remember hearing her talk about that.
Mm-hmm. The difference with this record was not only was it inspired by my work, but they took my strings and sampled them and went, ew, on top of their record because they didn't want to pay for the New York Philharmonic, which is what I had to pay for.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait a minute, dude. Mm-hmm. You know, what if I went to Star Wars and took a piece of Star Wars and made a music video and put, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi in my video without paying, you know, George Lucas, I'd be in jail.
You couldn't do that.
No, you couldn't do it.
So let me ask you this. Let's fast forward, because obviously legally you got that taken care of, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. They're evicted.
So you just played Rapper's Delight and Good Times.
Yeah.
You hear how the intro to Rapper's Delight is different.
Yeah.
Right, they go doom 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 doom, doom 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 doom. So they set it up differently. So they consciously set it up in a way that was to make me not think that it was Good Times, right? Which is all right. It's all right. It's okay.
The fake out,
right? Right. It was like, okay, I'm going to, you know, the thing that and I always say this because this really is unfair to me because Blurred Lines as a song. If they didn't have the intro that they chose, where the intro sounds very much like an interpolation mm-hmm. of the Marvin Gaye record, if they just went to Think I Know mm-hmm. and they went to the song, you probably wouldn't make that association. You would, it'd be a far leap.
An interpolation is like having your tenant really take good care of the apartment that you own and have pride in it. It's different than busting the wall down and taking over.
Because many songs, believe me, as a musician, we are all inspired by other people. And I really think that it's... So I'm going to just use myself as an example because I don't want to say what's in someone else's mind.
Listen to this.
But I will tell you right now, we just listened to Good Times. My cousin is one of the people who started Kool & the Gang. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, all I wanted to do was be like my cousin and be in Kool & the Gang.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when they wrote the song Hollywood Swingin', I was like, damn.
I remember.
Well, play Hollywood Swingin' and play Good Times, bro.
Okay. Okay, this is Hollywood Swingin', Kool & the Gang.
Now check out the bass line. Right,
Sway in the Morning. Now Rogers is with us. Oh.
Boom, boom, boom.
Wow.
So
okay, now
it ain't the same bass line. Right, so
that's crazy.
So that's a perfect example of being inspired. There is no doubt that Hollywood Swingin' and Good Times are not the same song at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Uh-huh.
But because I was so in love with Kool & the Gang and I was so down with Hollywood Swingin', this is a song I wish I had written.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? I go, well, damn, if I wrote Hollywood Swingin', it would go like this. Wow. And then I write Good Times. That goes, and I stay on that note. And then we go to there, we make a big deal out of that one and do. So.
Wow. Oh, so, man.
Cassandra Bluer, my guest, my real estate agent of the lifetime. This season, the Clippers, who are tenants at the Staples Center, owned by AEG, which partially owns the Lakers, the Clippers might do better than the Lakers. This season, the Chargers, or I should say next season, when they move into the same stadium in Inglewood as the Rams, the Chargers actually may win a Super Bowl. as tenants in the Rams stadium. This concept of the tenant versus the owner, the rivalry, well, it's not even that. It's a different situation. When you hear this, Cassandra Bloor, teach me a little bit about the rights of a tenant and the rights of the owner.
Well, I think, you know, the tenant is protected by rights that allow him to utilize the house. He can paint it like you had mentioned. He can make small changes, but he has a tendency to stay, and usually for a duration. And the rules allow him to be inspired by having this home. You know, when you first rent a house, it's pretty exciting, your first apartment. Mm-hmm. It inspires you. Your independence is there. So as a homeowner, you have lots of responsibilities in terms of legalities, in liabilities, and making sure that your tenant follows rules and is safe, and you provide a safe home. So I think that there's a freedom for a renter. I mean, they have rights, but they don't have all the legal aspects that are holding over them. You know, when you own a home.
My favorite realtor, Cassandra Bloor from Compass in the West LA area. Is there a number that they can call?
They can call me at 310-488-4255.
She's my favorite for a reason, and you can just hear during the show why I think she's the best. The great Cassandra Bloor, thanks so much for coming and waking up and bringing your family to the studio.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
All right, Warriors. Morning. Coming up next, I'm going to tell some stories. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors show here on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. It's Hollywood swinging, cooling the gang, which inspired Nile Rodgers to make Good Times and Chic. At the start of the hour, Jennifer, you hang on the line, and Steve and Frank and Fred. But I'll take Jennifer first at the top of the hour, and then I'm going to tell some stories. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors show here on ESPN LA 710.